Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1, The Activities of Maharaj Priyavrata. Text 20, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So this is prose. I'll just read it myself.
Yeah.
Okay. Shri Sukha Uvacha Iti Sama Bihito Maha Bhagavato Bhagavatas Tri Bhuvana Guror Anusha Sanam Atmano Lagu Taya Vanata Shiro Daro Padham Iti Sabahu Manam Uvaha. Synonyms: Sri Shuka Uvacha.
Sri
Shukadeva Goswami said. Iti. Thus. Samavihita.
Completely instructed.
Mahabhagavata,
Mahabhagavata,
the great devotee,
great devotee.
Bhagavata,
Bhagavata,
of the most powerful Lord Brahma,
Tri
Bhuvana,
of the three worlds,
Guru,
Guru,
the spiritual master, Anushasanam, the order, Atmana,
of himself.
Lagutaya,
because of inferiority.
Avanata,
bowed down.
Shirodara,
his head.
Badham,
yes, sir.
Iti,
thus.
Sabahumanam,
with great respect.
Uvaha,
carried out.
Translation. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, after thus being fully instructed by Lord Brahma, who is the spiritual master of the three worlds, Priyavrata, his own position being inferior, offered obeisances, accepted the order, and carried it out with great respect. Purport. Sri Priyavrata was the grandson of Lord Brahma. Therefore, according to social etiquette, his position was inferior. It is the duty of the inferior to carry out the order of the superior with great respect. Priyavrata therefore immediately said, yes, sir, I shall carry out your order. Priyavrata is described as a Mahabhagavata, a great devotee. The duty of a great devotee is to carry out the order of the spiritual master or the spiritual master of the spiritual master in the parampara system. As described in Bhagavad Gita 4.2, evam parampara praptam, one has to receive the instructions of the Supreme Lord through the disciplic chain of spiritual masters. The devotee of the Lord always considers himself a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Kauravani Pacharane Nirvasesha Sunyavadi Pastatari Satarane. Quickly describing the scene, this is Shukadeva Goswami is describing about Maharaj Priyavrata surrendering to Lord Brahma. So this chapter began, Maharaj Parikshit asked, Priyavrata Maharaj is a liberated soul, so why did he stay in the household ashram? Liberated souls are not materially attached, so I don't understand how such a person who is endeavoring for going back to Godhead would remain in Grihastha Ashram. That was his question. So Shukadeva begins to explain with the principle that there may be different impediments, such as grihastha life, that are placed in our path, sometimes by Krishna himself. But these don't have to be impediments, actually, for our spiritual progress. If we accept them in the right spirit and continue to control our senses and engage ourselves in Krishna's service. In fact, whatever it comes, tate nukampam sukshamikshamana, the worst reverses, if we take them as due to our past reaction of sinful activities, Krishna is giving us some purification. And we offer obeisances to the Lord in the heart despite these impediments, then they become the cause of our guaranteed attaining the spiritual world. That's the principle. But the specific situation was that Priyavrata was living as a brahmachari with Narada, practicing austerities and ideal setting in the forest and the mountains. And he was, however, asked by his father first, Swayambhuvamana, that you have to become the Kshatriya ruler so that I can retire for my spiritual cultivation. But Priyavrata thought, I'm not sure I want to do this. Why should I implicate myself? Then Lord Brahma appeared just to convince him that this must be done. And of course, Narada, the son of Lord Brahma and his disciple, he accepted that. And Swayambhuva wanted it, and Lord Brahma wanted it. So Priyavrata, what could he do? He accepted it, and that is being described here, his surrender. And some of the points are that Priyavrata is called in this context a Mahabhagavata, and at the same time he's called an inferior to Lord Brahma. And Prabhupada describes that in spiritual life it's very important to obey the superior. Now, superiors and inferiors, that kind of talk is not so palatable to democratic minds. We want to know what is the basis of this inferiority and superiority. Someone saying, I'm inferior. I have to say, yes, sir, to the superior. What is the basis of this? But when we understand this transcendentally, it will not have the bad taste or the bad reality that we may know otherwise. One time when Srila Prabhupada was conversing with Allen Ginsberg, Prabhupada was impressing, as he always did, about the need to accept authority, which means the Shastra instead of speculation, which means the Supreme Lord instead of ourselves, and the Supreme Lord's representative. So acceptance of authority is very important. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes, especially with a person who was not inclined to accept it, he would have to impress upon him that you do accept authority. For example, if we want to know what the weather is, we call up the weather department, or so many authorities we constantly consult. He was trying to make Mr. Ginsberg admit this. And he said at first, well, we have a problem with authority in this country. If you expect us to accept authority. Then Prabhupada said, but you have to admit that you do accept authority. And then Ginsberg replied, not enough to love it, not to dream about it. So there's an interesting remark, because if authority is imposed upon us without any love, we may have to follow it, but we always will have some resentment. So in most cases, the inferiors, they may be saying yes, sir, to the authorities, but it's not out of love. But out of force, and they would prefer to be superior themselves, or perhaps someone wants to be equal. But this is a part of the Vedic teaching. So, first of all, the authority in the Krishna consciousness is not based on birth, it's not based on social caste, it's not based on political appointment or wealth or these kinds of things, that somebody is superior to somebody else. But there are natural superiors. The real basis is a spiritual position. So in this case, there are great acharyas or mahajans. Narada, Brahma are mahajans, great authorities in Krishna, and Swayambhu, but all mahajans. They're not just politically powerful. And because Priyavrata was a great devotee of theirs, he was called a Mahabhagavata also. Therefore, he could accept them. And actually, in those days when there was Vedic civilization and Varnashram, there were many natural authorities, and you could say they were all on the spiritual basis, even though they all weren't gurus. The father, the mother, the husband, the any government man, especially the king, and the guru, and others. So they were all acting rightly in Varnashram, so they were representatives of God. Ultimately, the authority is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His authority we have to accept by force, and we should come to understand to accept him by love. But in any case, there is a supreme controller, and we are not the supreme controllers. When we surrender to Krishna in love, then we become free of all other controls. So in Vedic society, because everyone was arranged around Krishna consciousness, those other persons were also authorities, and they should be followed. But they had to be Krishna conscious also in their own particular way. Guru nisisyat, svajana nisisyat, pita nisisyat, janani nisisyat. All of them had to deliver their dependence from death, or they should not be accepted. But the order is very strong, and that is Srila Prabhupada's point here, that one should say, yes, sir, and be prepared to carry out their instructions. There's an example of this I'll share with you from Chaitanya Charitamrita about the strength of the order of the guru. This incident occurred when Lord Chaitanya returned from touring South India to Jagannath Puri. And one day, his godbrother, a fellow disciple of Ishwara Puri, Govinda, came and said, you know me, Govinda, I am the servant of Ishwara Puri, our spiritual master. So I've come now to be your servant, because our Gurudev told me that at the end of his life, to come and be the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So please accept me. Well, this made Lord Chaitanya a bit puzzled, because it was his godbrother who was the servant of their guru. Therefore, he asked Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya, who was very learned, what am I to do? How can I accept my godbrother's service like this? So Sarvabhuma replied, the order of the spiritual master is very strong and cannot be disobeyed. That is the injunction of the Shastras, the revealed scriptures. And then he quotes from the, says from the Puranas, Raghuvamsa. Being ordered by his father, Parashuram killed his mother, Renuka, just as if she were an enemy. Lakshmana, the younger brother of Lord Ramchandra, immediately engaged himself in the service of his elder brother and accepted his orders. The order of the spiritual master must be obeyed without consideration. And then he quotes from Lord Ramchandra's statement to Sita from the Ramayana. The order of a great personality, like a father, must be executed without consideration, because there is good fortune in such an order for both of us. In particular, there is good fortune for me. Now, so now this Varnashram has been disintegrated with Kali Yuga. So we can't expect that just because someone is a father or a leader in this social role, that he's fit to be. That's very unfortunate that we cannot put our trust like that, because that is the way of the right way of human behavior, to recognize superior and accept one's subordinate position. But if they cannot deliver Krishna consciousness, then they should not be accepted. And this also is, we're also instructed about this. Srila Prabhupada, although he would always inform us about the kings of Vedic times, how they were Naradev, representative of God, he never said that the present government leaders were like that. We did not follow them with love or feeling that we were being guided in an enlightened way by our government leaders. And there are even the instructions that these people should be rejected. Bali Maharaj rejected his guru, then Prabhupada describes Prahlad rejected his father for lack of Krishna consciousness. The Yajnik Brahmanas rejected their husbands for telling them don't give anything to Krishna. And similar cases. So the real thing is, to be a leader, one has to have, has to be situated as a servant. Because every devotee is a servant of the servant of the servant. So it is very interesting that Priyavrata, who's called inferior, is called a Mahabhagavata. A really advanced devotee will serve, even if he is recognized to be a leader or placed as a leader. He sees himself as this, everyone's servant, and if he actually does that, then people will be inclined to serve him, accepting that he is representative of Krishna. So it's not incompatible with being with a leadership responsibility. The example we have of the best leader and the best servant is Srila Prabhupada, that he took charge of so many disciples, but he always saw himself as a servant of his spiritual master and also as a servant of his disciples. There was one occasion, that was the day that the devotees moved into the present Los Angeles temple, and it was the appearance day of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, so there was a ceremony. But of course in those days there wasn't much opulence, so it was very simple. And Prabhupada stood and had the devotees come to the Vyasasana of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and they offered flowers. And then Prabhupada said, I do not have anything actually to offer my spiritual master on this day. So I offer him, if he will please accept, all my disciples. And he had his disciple. Oh, then he read a list of his disciples' names, just to, not to leave it vague or impersonal. These persons, your name, I offer them to you. And then that was his Vyasa Puja offering. And then he told the devotees in that moving into that wonderful temple, the best temple in ISKCON at that time, he said, this temple is a gift from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Therefore, he always thought of himself as serving his guru. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself has written and stated how the spiritual master should consider himself to... that Krishna has sent me many... or Prabhupada said this. Krishna has sent me many spiritual masters to train up. Therefore, if one is situated in that mentality, one will not think he's being exploited and will be willing to serve. Excuse me. This becomes complicated, a situation. Force... Bhakti is voluntary. No one is drawing a paycheck that if they're not, that they have to come because of that. Or no leader has some final authority. If you don't serve, I'll throw you in jail or I'll bring you to court. It's all voluntary. Prabhupada used to sometimes remind his leaders that remember, it's all voluntary service. So you just try to encourage everybody in the service that they wish to do. Yatechasi Tathakuru, Krishna says to Arjuna, after so clearly and forcefully teaching him the truth and what he should do, now you may do as you like. So we have that free will, but we're being asked to surrender it to the superior, to the representative Krishna, and do whatever he says. And take it that it's not arbitrary. I've freely given my surrender. Now, you tell me what I should do. So he becomes a Mahabhagavata who recognizes that relationship in truly superior persons. So someone like Priyavrata is therefore fit to lead others. I'll read the verse and see if there's any questions or comments. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, after thus being fully instructed by Lord Brahma, who is the spiritual master of the three worlds, Priyavrata, his own position being inferior, offered obeisances, accepted the order, and carried it out with great respect. And it's interesting also that his position was that Brahma was his param guru. So he was quite inferior. But twice, Narada, his guru, and then his param guru came. Accepted his own position as being inferior, offered obeisances, accepted the order, and carried it out with great respect. So, any questions or comments? Give you some time. I'm sure there are. Maybe you could think of some problematic situation to be addressed with authorities. Janmashtami, first.
This brings up the point of this. Whoever lies, Mr. Karma Guru.
Well, it doesn't really get aggravated at all. We hardly hear of any kind of confrontation between Narada and Brahma. He doesn't have to convince Narada. As I understood it, Narada was training him in brahmacharya. So you could say, well, that's opposed to grihastha. But he didn't know, or at that point, it wasn't necessary that he be changed from brahmacharya to grihastha. So as soon as this need was made clear to Narada, that this is fine, that he's brahmachari ordinarily, there's nothing to disturb him, he can continue. But a special need has arisen in the state, and it has arisen because his own father is inclined at this time to give up the state. So Priyavrata has to take it over. But even saying, as you said, that there is a difference of instruction between the guru and the param guru, and that we know that sometimes Vaishnavas, as individuals, they have different viewpoints within the Siddhanta. So then, here again, Narada, the subordinate, accepted also the superior position of Brahma, his father. So there's nothing wrong in Narada's agreeing to that. And his disciple will see, my guru said be brahmachari, now he says, because Brahma says that I should change, so I change. As you say, adjustment. So adjustment was made when the higher order came. And there was no doubt. He didn't have then a doubt, well, maybe something's wrong with Narada. Why was he training me as brahmachari? But that was good too, to be trained as brahmachari. Because later, he did this stint of duty as a grihastha, even appeared to become attached, and then at the end he just gave it up and returned to the training that he had received from Narada and became again renounced. At least in this instance, Narada was immediately in agreement with Brahma, so there was no conflict for the sincere disciple. Yes?
One of the purports of this chapter is a discussion of Krishna's desire and will may serve as an impediment for the devotee's advancement. It's just a little hard to understand.
Yeah, I do too. Not exactly sure where it is, because Krishna wants us to go back to Godhead. Why should he place an impediment to our going back to Godhead? Personally, why should he do it? But in this case, it was like a test. If the person could be submissive, do that which was apparently not for his spiritual advancement, but show that he was willing to accept the duty, then that in itself, that surrender, even toward his own spiritual advancement, he was willing to sacrifice. So he got rewarded. Because ultimately, we're not supposed to be selfish even about our spiritual advancement. That's all we care about. We don't care about other people. We just want to make spiritual advancement ourself. That can be a kind of selfishness. So I take it that it's an apparent impediment to Krishna, or a temporary impediment, or an impediment as a test. But because to go back to Godhead, we have to pass various tests, and we have to give up our attachments. So it can't be completely smooth sailing, or where's the surrender? There has to be some, because we're in Maya, for us to get rid of it, there's some pain. So sometimes Krishna will push us and may look like an impediment. But he knows best. So it wasn't best for Priyavrata to continue his apparent high path of brahmachari all the way, but it was best that he do something else. Therefore, what seemed to be an impediment was placed by Krishna. But that may seem to happen to, not only in this case, but in other cases, that Krishna, I was trying sincerely to make spiritual advancement according to this particular plan, and you yourself have interrupted it. What are you doing to me? Then we have to understand the mysterious moves of the Lord. He said, I want you to do this. So his order is higher than even what we consider as spiritual advancement. Like he told Yudhisthira to tell a lie. Something like that. We can't say in an absolute way that the authority is always right in the temple or that your desire for a particular service is always best. So the best way is to approach this thing. If people, there has to be trust developed. Trust between someone who's an authority. And that I was describing, what is the basis of that trust? That the authority himself is actually situated as a servant, is trying to carry out Prabhupada's will. And in our case, has dealt fairly with us. So if there's some trust, and he trusts also that we are sincere, then the two persons can discuss it. And there's no predetermined way it has to be, that the authority is thinking, I'll discuss it, but it's got to come out that you've got to do what I say. And the other person shouldn't say, all right, I'll talk with you for an hour, but I already know that this is what I want to do, and that's it. But you have to be willing to actually surrender both. So by reason, and then the person says, but you want me to do this, but you don't know. Let me explain. This is my situation. This is why I want to do this and why I don't want to do that. And if there's trust, and that's what there must be, otherwise, Prabhupada said, love and trust, not by legal formulas, then there'll be some agreeable, even if it's provisional. The authority may say, well, just give up what you want to do for now and just try this. And I promise you that if it doesn't work at such and such time, then you can do it. Well, all right, I agree. And then that trust has to be kept. Or the person may go the other way. So love and trust has to be the basis, or these things will inevitably break down. But it's not good for us to just walk away from the meeting with authority in our life and try to avoid it. You just follow some other authority will be impressed on you by the material nature. We should serve under some authority and be obedient, especially those who are very serious about spiritual life. Some kind of relationship like that is very beneficial. Otherwise, the tendency would be, I don't need any person to guide me or be an authority because there's nobody worthy to, and I can decide on my own. But spiritual life is so tricky, when to surrender to something and when to instead think that it's too hard. And so we should be able to accept someone as representative of Krishna. Or how will we be situated in the parampara? Prabhupada makes that point, that everyone has to receive orders in parampara, as described in Bhagavad Gita, evam parampara praptam. One has to receive the instructions of the Supreme Lord through the disciplic chain of spiritual masters. A devotee of the Lord always considers himself a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Now you're talking like not just philosophy of Priyavrata, but how in our own lives we become a servant of the servant and be situated in parampara. So you have to do it. Find some place, somewhere, some person where you have this relationship, and then you'll be secure. The relationship means that you trust his instruction is for your good, and that it's for the good of that, and that it's coming from Srila Prabhupada. And you trust that the person also cares for your particular situation, not just that you're some bit of manpower, but that you will be listened to and taken care of. Then you should render service there. Now, these things don't happen overnight. We have to, by many different instances, gradually it develops such relationships. Anyone else? Yes? I think I understood what you said, but I'm not sure. That at least there's one point I understand saying, that when you are coming to the Sankirtan movement in the temple, you hear about how you should surrender to a spiritual master, but there are different spiritual masters, and some devotees are telling you you should surrender to this spiritual master, and some devotees say, no, surrender to that spiritual master. It's very confusing. They seem to be just doing that out of their party interest. So, as far as that question is concerned, yes, there shouldn't be that kind of canvassing. But you have to realize that they do that because they're enthusiastic about their particular spiritual master, but they shouldn't do that. So you have to just forgive them and overlook it and just try to be objective that who is the spiritual master I want to surrender to. So this group, very enthusiastically, they say, oh, our guru is the best because of these qualities. And the others say, no, this guru is very good. He's our best. He's these qualities. You have to kind of see through their just being partial and decide for yourself. But don't become angry that they have their affection for their guru and they're telling you about it. You just have to say, well, that's what you think, but I have to decide on my own. And not that you're just swept into it by somebody's persuasion. So you should take your time and read Prabhupada's books and approach the different persons who you're considering or observe them. There's no pressure. Ultimately, there's no pressure by anybody that you have to surrender to a particular spiritual master. Well, that's a good start. So don't get confused. Just accept Prabhupada as your spiritual master. And that means follow his order, four rules, 16 rounds, and then more will be, the next steps will become revealed to you by Prabhupada and Krishna. So first, it's not just a matter of saying, I declare Prabhupada as my spiritual master. But then you actually have to learn what he's teaching and how, and actually surrender to his instructions. Then it may occur to you that to really surrender to him, I should also accept initiation from one of his representatives. But you don't have to do that right away. You don't even have to consider it. But first, follow Prabhupada. Yeah, it's all premature, and it, just like you say, it's just agitating your mind. So forget about it. Just serve Prabhupada. But don't think that's the perpetual situation. But you don't have to. So make your relationship firm with Prabhupada. All right, thank you. All glories to Prabhupada. Thank you.